97.5, The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley. So, today we'll talk Eagles-Ravens. We're going to talk Carson Wentz and our weekly evaluation of the quarterback. We will also talk about trades at the deadline and something that's kind of making some steam among Eagle fans, which is the scary notion of blowing it up. But first, I got to start with this. And I'm going to preface this whole thing by saying, look, I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling anyone to do anything. All right? This is completely apolitical. All right? You do whatever you see is right. I don't want anybody telling me what to do, so I'm not telling you guys what to do. I don't espouse any of my beliefs on you every day. We can have a dialogue. I can tell you what I'm thinking, but I'm not one to be a preacher in that sense. I need to start off, and I got to just say, I'm worried. Now, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm getting a little worried. Now, there was a report today, Adam Schefter, that the Falcons facility has been shut down due to multiple positive tests. He then came back and said there was one. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a false alarm, if it's one of those deals where, you know, it's all precaution because we got to take precaution here, and they shut it down. But I don't know. I do know what I read about the University of Florida, which has 19 players test positive for coronavirus. I do know that Alabama coach Nick Saban tested positive for coronavirus. I do know what I read, that in Europe, they are getting a second wave of the virus. There are over 100,000 cases a day, and there's a curfew in Paris. London is making several kind of changes to its reopening policy. And in Spain, they're shutting down restaurants. So, you know, and we have been, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or 3 to 5 weeks behind them when it comes to the virus and waves. And I don't have any answers, right? All I know is I'm worried. I'm worried about everybody. All right. Again, I always say this, but it's true. I come from a family of worriers. My mother was an all-star worrier. My Aunt Cookie was an all-star worrier. My grandmother, Grandma Minnie, she was an all-star worrier. So, you know, I got the gene. The gene is the worry gene. And it's less, you know, again, I think we all know, you know, I'm not the most take care of myself kind of person, right? So I'm not like worried for myself more than, you know, I worry about all the people, and I worry about kids, and I worry about the teachers, and I worry about all these people. And I like happiness among the masses. I've always done. I've always preferred the happy conversations, whether it be Eagles Super Bowl or Phillies run or a Sixers hope or a Flyers big time run, whatever it is. I like it. So this is where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from the left. I'm not coming from the right. I'm just coming at it from, I'm worried about you guys. And I'm worried about the whole thing. Now, I profess to have no answers. All right? Like, I'm not telling you anything. All I'm telling you is we can read the tea leaves, right? We can read the tea leaves of what's going on. And you see the positive cases. And you can tell me all you want. Well, it doesn't matter. And it's, you know, the flu kills more people. And that all may be so, right? You know, again, half the things I don't even know what to believe anymore. But beyond all that, we do know that it's probably not something that you want to get unless you're, you know, in tip-top shape and you're 25 and whatever. But if you have people around you that you care about, you know, I just don't want to take any chances, right? Like, I know, I see the numbers. I'm sure that the kids will be fine, that my two sons will be good. But why do I want to take a risk? I don't want to roll dice with my Anthony and my Massimo. And I don't want to roll dice with your kids or your parents, right? Why roll dice? This is unnecessary. But I understand that we can't shut down again. We got to have the economy roll, man, because it's the fallout's worse than the virus itself, it appears, right? So there's got to be this happy medium. But I am worried and concerned, and is it the right time to open up a stadium? Is it the right time to get, you know, have masses of people gathered together? I love a party. I love it. I love everybody getting together. I'm a people person, right? But, and I'm tired of the whole damn thing too. I haven't done anything. I didn't even go to the shore, right? So I get it. I'm the same way. And I'm a creature of the bars and restaurants and, you know, it's tough. But right now, when I look at sports and I look at all the stuff going on, you know, my instincts and my gut tell me that we got to, you know, not turtle up, but we got to be smart over the next 3 to 5 months, right? Get through the winter and then come out of spring. And then, you know, hopefully everything's good. We get back outdoors and everything will be so much better and so much rosier. And we'll be that much closer to a universal vaccine. So that's where my head's at. And then I start thinking about sports and I start thinking about how I've approached every football game. And I guess it's in the back of my mind that at some point it could end, and it could end prematurely. And so I realize that I'm watching these games, the Tuesday night football and the Monday night football, and I'm watching these games almost cherishing the game because it could end at any moment. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about it. It's weird because while I've been enjoying the NFL and almost cherishing the NFL, college football, I'm a huge college football man. I've been this is bogus. I feel like it's bogus. What conference are playing, what conference not playing, the whole thing. Whereas the NFL, I don't really think is bogus, but do you guys think it's bogus? Do you guys think, and Darius Slay said, I don't even know why we're playing. I got to ask you guys a question about it. With all the, you know, this facility shutting down and a game on Tuesday, as much as I love it, but, you know, pushing games to the end, is it a bogus? Is there a bogusness about it? The bubble, is there a bogusness? Was there a bogusness about baseball and basketball? And I want to start with this conversation and pick your brains. First, I'll pick Junis. And see what he has to say. Good morning, Junis.
Hey, Ant. What's going on, man?
What are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Again,
we had a social distance dinner last night.
Yes, we did. It was a nice time yesterday. Beautiful night. Beautiful night yesterday.
Yes, we did. Yeah. It was gorgeous outside, social distance.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Enjoyed it a lot. I mean, right now it's...
And listen, it goes back to, like, I love it. I love that. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to go in the bar and hang out until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right, exactly. But...
Right.
Can't do it right now. You know, right. So you got to do it... All sort of precautions, got to be smart, follow protocols, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's weird right now. I'll say it right away, you know, and I just like putting this out there. I'm not going to a sporting event. But it's also because I'm married to a nurse, right, who works in the intensive care unit, who deals with COVID patients and also deals with patients that are just there that are sick or that are injured that don't have COVID. So God forbid I get it, I give it to her, we don't know about it, she then gives it to the patient, right? And then that person who's already bedridden for another reason then has COVID, and that could be the final straw for that person. So I'm not going to a game because of that. If I was single and, you know, a bachelor and living my best life, maybe I would. I don't know yet. I don't know how I would feel. I kind of look at it from a different perspective because of who I'm married to. I'm not about to rip anyone that does want to go to a game, but it is something that I still question. And like you said at the very beginning, is it really smart to have mass gatherings right now? Now, so far, week one, when Kansas City had fans, a person tested positive in the stands, and I didn't see any follow-up. I don't think anyone else in that section got it, because you are supposed to wear your mask. You're supposed to follow all the protocols at the games themselves. So hopefully, because it's been 5 weeks now, and there have been other games where fans have been allowed in the stadiums, I haven't heard about any mass breakouts yet. Now, I thought it was absolutely stupid that the Tennessee Titans allowed fans in their stadium the other day. The Titans just had a game postponed and then played on a Tuesday because they had multiple players. They had 23 members of their staff and players test positive. And then they allowed fans in the stadium? Like, to me, that's dumb. To me, that's just, you shouldn't do that. If some cities are handling it better than others, I say go for it. But that, to me, was just, you know, ludicrous. You just had 23 people test positive, and now you're opening up the stadium? What are you doing, Tennessee?
Yeah, I you know, that sort of thing.
I mean, we're talking about not just everyday people's health. We're also talking about the state of the league. What if that game got postponed again? That's then 2 weeks, right?
I know.
And now we're talking about competitive imbalances and whether or not the league is bogus. You know, the Eagles played a team coming off of a COVID bye, and the Eagles played that team well. Who knows what could have happened if that team didn't have that COVID bye?
I know. I feel the same way. I just look at it and I go, I don't know what to think. I just don't know what to think. Is it worth, like, right now, it's funny. And I saw the same thing. Well, it hasn't resulted, people gathering in earlier hasn't really resulted in anything. But then you realize that it takes a while, like there's a lag period.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 days.
Right, or more than that. There's a lag period when the whole thing happens, right? Like, we know the story, right? Hey, summertime, you're outdoors, it's natural. The colder it gets, the more indoors we become. You know,
even if you're
out in a stadium, you're still, you know, you throughout the course of the week, your things change. And the colder it gets, and the deeper we get in the fall, I just think common sense goes, well, why push it for 7,500 fans, right? Like, I don't know. Again, and I could be completely wrong on this thing. You know, I just want to get, I want to get to the holidays, right? Without some bad kind of thing that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this year's going to be weird regardless, especially come holidays. It's not going to be the same. We were having a conversation yesterday with someone about, you know, Thanksgiving. Are there going to be people traveling to see their families? I know, you know, I told you about it. I have an Easter tradition where I go up to my cousin's house the day before Easter. And then, you know, we have a good night the night before. We get up early for Easter Sunday. You know, that was canceled pretty much. It's probably going to happen again this year. Those Thanksgiving traditions that you have, your touch football games, or your tackle football games, all that stuff, may get canceled this year. Because who knows what kind of, you know, if you could travel and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a weird time right now. It is interesting to allow fans back. Like, I still find it interesting. Now, I'm not going to say you're crazy if you want to go. Just be smart. Be smart when you go.
I'm not the people police, right? So, hey, God bless. Do whatever you want. I've always been a fan of don't tell me what to do. Leave me alone. All right. That's my government deal is just leave me alone. Right? Like that's kind of always looked at it. Beyond now, all that stuff. This is just, I care about it. We care about our region and everyone. And again, I don't know. I could be completely, you know, wrong on the whole thing. But here's the thing. Do you look at it like this? If you don't have fans and nothing happens, isn't it still good that everybody's healthy? You don't look at it like, oh, see, we missed an opportunity to go to a football game. You know what I mean?
You know, I don't look at it that way. I go, hey, I was able to watch the game, period. Well,
what's the point? Like, risk reward, right? Isn't there such a thing as risk reward? Like, what's the biggest reward? You going to a game? All right, well, that's good. And I'm all for going to a game, but is it necessary? Like, people's jobs are necessary, which is why you can't lock down.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
People have to work, which is why you can't lock down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happens to the restaurant industry. I'm worried
about
that.
It's a tough time right now.
I'm worried about, you know, we do a show every Wednesday before Thanksgiving at the Reading Terminal Market.
Yep.
I talked to people at the Reading Terminal Market this week, and it's a sin what's going on there. It's a sin, which is, you know, vendors have to close.
Right.
The market's bare. And the problem is like, you know, how do you have a Reading Terminal Market without crowds?
Right. I mean, I had somebody actually reach out to me last week, one of our, you know, big listeners, name's Alex. And he's like, hey, I was thinking of coming up. He's actually down in Carolina. He was thinking about coming up. He comes to Fan Fest all the time for that broadcast. He's like, do you know anything about it right now? I was like, I don't.
I know.
I don't know if we're going to be Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving.
I'm hoping we can do it.
Right.
I'm hoping. And I think the Reading Terminal Market, which is which I love and is a Philadelphia treasure, I'm worried about the future of the market. Right? You're worried about the future of it.
Yeah.
And all those stores on 9th Street, right, in Center City, all the stores, you know, without people, without crowds, it just kills them.
Yeah. That's why I can't totally shut down.
Exactly. But a place like the Reading Terminal Market, how do you have business without crowds, right? That place, I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. It feels like the holiday.
You go there at lunchtime? My God, it's awesome.
I love it. And I love the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is my favorite day.
Yep.
It is. It's awesome. There's people. It's festive and Thanksgiving and Christmas around the corner and, you know, all the holidays and the lights. And I love Center City. Like, to me, it's funny. I could never be in some warm climate or abroad or whatever. I know some people go to Hawaii for Christmas. Like,
you don't want palm tree Christmas.
I could never do that. Like to me, it's different. If you grew up, like, in Florida, that's where you grew up at. But you grew up around here, you know, Center City is the greatest, like Macy's and Christmas Village and all that. Packed crowds. Like, what happens to all that?
Yeah, nuts. You'll see crowds, but it won't be the same. Now, I have a question that I want to ask. I guess it's more for the audience because, you know, you already said it. You're watching every single game, cherishing every single game as if it's the last one, right? I want to take you back to a tweet, and forgive me, I forget the person's name, but there was a tweet that we got before the season started. And because there was a lack of buzz before the NFL season, 2 weeks, and even the week of, right? We finally got the buzz the Thursday before the Eagles-Washington football team game. And you asked, like, where is that buzz? And somebody responded saying, it's hard for me to get excited for something not knowing whether it's going to be the last one. Like, that person said, I could watch one football game and it could be done. So why should I get so excited for it? And I wonder if there's people that are still like that.
I do think there's a lot of people like that.
Because I'm like you. I was watching Bills-Titans Tuesday Night Football, locked in.
I think there are a lot of people like
that. But I wonder if there's people who are like, you know what, I can't get super. Why bother getting so excited? Why bother putting so much attention to this team knowing, and it doesn't help that the Eagles are 1-3-1, but football in general, knowing that it could be the final week.
I agree. All right, well, let's find out what people have to say about that. Obviously, we'll talk Eagles, and we're going to do a Carson thing, and what do you do with the deadline? That's all on the docket. But I'm curious about how you're handling this thing and the fear of another wave or a second wave, however you want to look at it, that appears to be growing. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here, 97.5, the Fanatic.
Anthony!
That's right. The Farmer's Almanac is predicting a rough winter. Oh, I hate that. It says our area will be, quote, seasonably wet, cold, and white. So if you're having any minor issues with your roof, now's the time to call Anthony LaRusciano and get it checked before the rain and wintry mix of ice and snowy weather causes more damage to your old roof. That's right. Anthony LaRusciano will personally assess your roof and repair it right the first time. If you need a new roof, rest assured you're dealing with the best. Check out LaRusciano's hundreds of five-star Google reviews, a five-star CertainTeed Shingle Master, which means you can get the best warranty in the business. 50 years on the shingles, 25 years on the workmanship. Look, your home's roof, just too important to trust with some dude, right? Like, oh, I got some dude who does roofs. Nah. Go with the only roofing expert I recommend, LaRusciano Roofing. Here's the number, 610-265-ROOF. Or go to paroofpros.com. That's P-A, roof, R-O-O-F, pros, P-R-O-S.com. My friend, Anthony LaRusciano, the Shingle Master.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
On the line with us, there he is, pregame show, Devon and B West over at Parks Casino, the Gun on One podcast. Here he is, the one, the only, D-Gun. D-Gun!
Anthony, how you doing today, man?
What's going on, my man?
Man, it's a beautiful day outside. You know what I say? When the sun is shining, it's a great day, brother.
You are Dr. Sunshine. I like it.
Yes. I'm trying to put you in the proper frame of mind every week I talk to you.
Listen, I'm a people person. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I'm just not a Pollyanna. I'm just not Pollyanna. You know what I'm saying?
When it comes, is that what you're calling me, a Pollyanna?
I'm calling you. When it comes to sports, all right, I'm happy-go-lucky when it comes to life. When it comes to sports, I'm happy-go-lucky until I can't be happy-go-lucky without being a Pollyanna, you know. You get it. I mean, look.
So you're a man of multiple personalities.
No, I'm one personality. I'm just honest is what I am. I'm honest to a fault. So let me ask you a question. Let's get it started. Sunday Eagles, there's some love for the Birds. Do you feel the trap game?
You know, I heard what you said about some of the people out there with the optimism, and it's a novel idea, but if you think John Harbaugh is not going to have this team ready to play on Sunday, you are sadly mistaken. They're going to be ready. You know, you look at the way the Ravens have played the last 2 years, they are ready when they're playing. And I tell you what, if you thought Pittsburgh had speed, this team has speed on both sides of the football. I think they're a faster team than Pittsburgh in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They're going to be ready to play. You know, period. I love the fans' optimism. I hope they're right. As we all know, anything can happen on any given Sunday. But I'm not about to chalk this up as a W for the Eagles. Although offensively, they've been playing better the last couple of weeks. I'm not chalking this up to a W.
All right. So, yeah. I mean, you can't put a W in there. I mean, you got to hope that they come in and maybe Baltimore is a little off the game. I agree with you. I think it's a tough matchup. Now, again, to attack the Ravens, let's think about this from an X and O standpoint. I love Darius Slay. Like, Darius Slay's a player, right? So you got him to take Brown, hopefully, out of the game. Then you got to worry about Andrews, right?
Now, no question.
Andrews is not Kittle or Kelsey. So
he's a very good tight end, though.
He is. Yes, but he's not those other two. So the hope is
that
the White Snake can stay with him.
Okay. All right. What's the one area in pass defense that they've consistently had problems with this season?
Without a doubt. That's why I bring it up. And I say he's not Kittle, right? He's not Kittle. Andrews is more lumbering, and he's not Kittle. So the hope is, again, I'm just looking at it from an Eagles slant, that you could stop. Andrews is easier to stop than Kittle or a Claypool type.
He doesn't have that straight-ahead speed, but what he's a big body. He uses his body well. This guy already has 5 touchdown catches, and he's averaging almost 13 yards a catch. That's a problem in itself. The thing is, you're right, he's a little bit more lumbering, but he's sure-handed, he's physical, and they use him extremely well. And I'm not saying that the Eagles can't defend him. I'm just saying it's not a given that they're going to take
him. No, I know, but if you're making up a recipe where the Eagles can hold Baltimore, this, like, you got to stop Andrews, right? Like,
here's a problem, though. Because of that guy, Lamar Jackson, the way he moves around back there, it allows everybody else to eventually slide away from containment and coverage. And that's where Mark Andrews is most dangerous, when Lamar starts moving around back there and roaming outside of the pocket. He's very good at getting away from the coverage. And that's what makes him so efficient in terms of how they utilize him in that offense.
Yeah, I agree.
And you were talking about Marquise Brown. Have you noticed the last couple of games, teams are not shying away from Darius Slay. They're going after Darius Slay now.
I know.
You know, again, I don't know what it is.
The objective was to make a case that the Eagles don't get throttled by the Ravens offense.
I agree.
So all I was doing was trying to make a case.
Do you want me to be honest or not?
Yeah, go ahead, brother. All right, go ahead.
Do you want me to tell you what you want to hear, or do you want me to be honest?
Listen, I got eyes. I know what I see. All right? There's a reason why I don't think the Eagles win Sunday. But if we were making an argument as to how, like the game plan, I wanted you to take a game. Let's look at it from a game plan. You're Schwartz, all right? How are you going to stop this team?
I'm playing 5 DBs. I'm playing 5 DBs most of the game. I'm playing deep thirds. I'm playing 2 high safeties. Marquise Brown is a legit 4-2 guy, 4-3 guy. Marquise Brown does not get past my secondary. I want to make sure of that, because this kid can flat out fly. And I'm bringing somebody down in the box. I'm making Lamar Jackson move. You know, he's the leading rusher on the team. He's going to get his yard scrambling no matter what you try to do. You have to get to him. Make him move off his mark. Even if you don't get him down, make him move. Make him move his feet, you know. Offensively, if I'm the Eagles, I try to bang away at this team. I understand they're a very good run defensive team. I think it's going to be similar to Pittsburgh. You're not going to get a lot of outside big runs on this team. They're too fast laterally. They have 3 great linebackers, and their linebackers are very active. You got to hit this team between the tackles, whether it's delayed draws, whatever the case may be, middle screens. You got to do something different, you know, because your game plan, you had that one big run last week. Sanders had a 74-yard run. All of a sudden, all they had was 20 yards rushing the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, part of it is that he goes away from it the minute there's a negative play.
Yes, you have to stay committed. I mean, let's look at the final score of that Pittsburgh game. The Eagles are right there until the bitter end. But they got away from that run again. They had their chances, you know. And this is like the fourth out of five games where the Eagles had a chance to win four of the five games they were playing in. And you have to stay committed. It drives me nuts that they just totally abandoned one aspect of their game. And if it's a blowout, I understand it. You're playing catch-up. But if you're still very much in that game, don't abandon it. Keep it close. Keep that other offense off the field. Keep the chains moving. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You have the offensive personnel, even though it's a nicked up offense. You look at this young kid, Travis Fulgham, emerging. You have Greg Ward. Every time he catches a pass, it's a first down. So you have the personnel to sustain drives and make long drives. You have to play the clock against this Baltimore team or they will chew you up. Look at what they did to a Cincinnati team that the Eagles struggled with just the tie. I mean, 27-3. That tells you all you need to know about this Baltimore team. So you have to flip the script and do something they're not expecting.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to attack them down the field is what you're going to have to do.
You're going to have to. But again, you know, and you know what?
And Carson has to give you that game where he's got to leave it like he does and leave it on the field and he's got to run and you're going to have to move him. Because you got to move the pocket against them.
There's no question. You cannot leave that man as a stationary target or he'll get tattooed. There's a reason why the Ravens have 16 quarterback sacks. And as I've been screaming all season long, Carson is a much more efficient quarterback and athlete when you move that pocket and get him outside of that pocket. You know, look at some of the throws he's making outside of the pocket now. That's his game. Don't make him a stationary target or it's going to be a long day for him. You know, when you look, I mean, Baltimore's got some great cover guys. You know, they have Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith. You look at the linebackers. L.J. Ford, who we gave up on here.
Yeah, I believe me, I know.
They go with Patrick Queen and Pernell McPhee. So they're linebackers. Calais Campbell, they have everything you want on both sides of the ball.
It's
athleticism versus athleticism. Carson is athletic enough. Get out of that pocket. You know, and throw in a move, or if you see a seam, take off and run and get down. That's part of the overall game that you have to hit this Baltimore defense with. You cannot play into Baltimore's hand, or you're going to end up on the bottom end of a score the way Cincinnati did. You can't. You just can't. You've got to move Carson. It's imperative you move this kid outside of the pocket.
All right, so here's the deal. If I tell you, we're talking to D Gunn on the Comcast Business Hotline. Don't forget the Gun on One podcast, and of course, D Gun with Devon and B West for the pregame show. Now, if I ask you this, you said it earlier about Fulgham, who I like, I think is real. I think Fulgham is legit. And Ward, who I love he could play in the slot for me. I love his.
Absolutely.
I love that kid. You know why? He's tough. He catches. Yes. He catches. I do. I love him. And to me, I want to go. And when Rager comes back, it's Rager, Fulgham, and Ward the rest of the way. I don't care about Alshon Jeffrey. 100%. I don't care about DeSean Jackson. I got to use this year as I need to find out who's a keeper. I need to find out about my team, Egon.
Here's why you need to find out about your keepers, because it's well documented. This team is like $90 million over the cap for 2021. Some hardcore decisions are going to be made, and you're going to have to start going with youth, because even if the Eagles use what little money they have left to help offset that cap dilemma next year, they're still going to be severely upside down. And there are going to be some hardcore decisions, and I'm telling you right now, there's some veteran personnel. I'm not going to give you the names right now. I'm going to wait until December. But there's some hardcore. There's some names that are not going to be back with this team in 2021.
Yeah,
you might be surprised, a few of them.
Yeah, maybe not surprised, a couple of them. Well, I think the same thing. You know, listen, I love the big defensive tackle, but is he long for this place? I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, I'll tell you what you want to know in December.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just waiting to hear more information, and I'm debating with people from information I'm getting. So it's going to be interesting to see, but how is that?
Would you be, now again, there's not a lot of trades deadline, but if someone called you, and I can't imagine this being any kind of active, especially with COVID, would you consider a big move, almost not a dump, but a dump, right? Would you do that?
Absolutely. It depends on what I'm getting in return. If you're going to give me a stud linebacker, I'm listening.
Well, it's going to be draft picks, right? So anybody who gives you anything is going to get draft picks.
But I need a player now, too. I want a player. Because right now, you know, as crazy as it sounds, 1-3-1 looks pretty good in the NFC East. So this thing is not over by a long shot. I need a body, an athletic body, a proven body that can help me shore up some holes that I have right now. I want a draft pick also. And there's a possibility, but I need a body right now to help me in a certain area. You know, I don't want future draft picks. We know the history of this team drafting. I'm not laying my eggs in a future draft picks with this team. It's got to be more than just draft picks.
All right, let me ask you the other question that someone last night explicitly told me what to do, what he would do.
Okay.
And that was, you ready? Blow it all up and trade Carson.
I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. I don't. What if Jalen Hurts doesn't prove to be what they're hoping he is down the road? Whatever it is, and I don't have any inside information on that right now, but what if Jalen Hurts is not it? So then you got to go back into the draft and get another quarterback next year?
I agree with you. But again, that's what I think that's the groundswell, it always starts as a low rumble until it turns into thunder.
Absolutely.
And this is what's going on. Now, I'm fiercely against it. I don't want to move Wentz. But,
what kind of message is that you're sending your team then, if you do that?
If you're doing that at the end of the season, the message is we're rebuilding, we're getting rid of all the veterans, and we're going to start fresh.
Yeah, but you're still in. These guys want to win. I mean, as bad as it looks.
But who wants to win? You're going to move. Any of the guys that want to win, you're moving.
Not Cox, all of them. Some Ertz. Of them will be restructured. You know, there's a few that are going to be restructured.
Yeah, but the point is that they're saying we're not ready. Like, yeah, it's well good they want to win. Are they good enough to win?
Are they good enough to win their division?
Well, come on. Circumstance. Why they were. The only reason why they're going to win a division or they could win a division is because of circumstance. The two worst teams in the league are Washington and the Giants, and the Cowboys might have the worst defense in the history of football.
No question about it. And these guys still want to win. They're playing for something more than a paycheck. They want to win.
Well, everybody wants to win.
If you tell them this early in the season, we're already building for next year. Sitting here watching players. Okay, is everybody giving their all?
No, the talk was at the end of the year, move Carson.
Oh, the end of the year. I thought you meant now before.
No. The end of the year was move Carson.
Okay, well, yeah, if at the end of the year, okay, that's a completely different animal, you know.
And I'm fiercely against moving Wentz then, but that's the groundswell.
You pay this man a lot of money. You've called him your franchise quarterback. Are you going to give up on him now? You look at what this young man was capable of doing with a bunch of walk-ons late last season to rally. When we thought they were dead to rights and rally that team, played great football down the stretch. Now, granted, we know who they were playing against outside of the Cowboys. We know the competition they were playing against. But he rallied this team. They could have folded it in, but he rallied this team. They won a division. If I can get him better personnel around me, if you can get high draft picks for this franchise quarterback to build in that regard, because I believe you're going to have to, in some ways, gut this team to rebuild it. But then again, when you look at the draft history, do you feel comfortable with how
their talk is
rebuild a team?
Yeah, but here's where they go. They go. And people saying that are saying just gut everyone. So they just want to push the detonate button. Anyway,
oh my goodness.
That's the state of the fan base. D-Gun will be listening pregame show Sunday morning with B. West and Devon. Can't wait, baby.
Hey, man, everybody check out this week's Gun on One. I got my good friend Scott Hanson on there. And, of course, one of the more knowledgeable people I know in the industry, another good friend, Adam Kaplan, on this week's podcast.
Awesome.
Great podcast. So if you guys get a chance and everybody out there listening.
It's a great podcast. You know, I will tell you. It's a great podcast. Gone on one, baby.
Thank you, bro.
I'm having fun, man. You're good at it. So keep it up.
Thank you, my man.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, D-Gun. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Have a great day.
You too. Be safe.
You too.
There he is, D-Gun.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.